the men worked out well, just making a living. And I came up from college, my family, my mother's family, when I was 3 years old. We moved to our grandfather's home up here in Kelly, Mullins. We were Kelly's at town, and we took our grandfather's home, gave over to us up here to live. And we made gardens. And had good big stock of cattle after a while, and we lived by then. And my mother was the main one to look after all that work. She made her gardens, and she done every work to raise a family. She was quite young then, only five of us children, and there were 10 in the family. And we lived that way.
Where did you go to school?
Well, we went to school in the neighbor's house. They got seats, and our old man teach. He had learning. He teached us. We were about maybe 18 pupils, I think. Those are the school. He got no pay.
None at all?
Oh, no. He was teaching us free.
What'd they do, feed him?
Huh?
They give him his board? Did they feed him?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
But he didn't get any money.
He lived with his daughter up here. Mm-hmm. A diamond. His name was Diamond. John Diamond.
And that was the first school?
Yeah, that was the first schooling year.
And then, did they build a schoolhouse after a while?
They built a schoolhouse. These were our houses for us. Huh? And the ice come right up to the, almost the top of the windows. And they moved it then way up on the hill to Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
We went to school there. We had a higher teacher then, so later, years after. And we got along fairly good. Thought we did. And the ice used to bother us a lot. Come in.
Do you remember the ice jam? Do you remember the ice jam?
Oh, I was raised the way up the castle on the settlement in it. Up by my house. I came out to see it go. And I got caught out there. I was saying up that thing with my hand, fed way up off through. And the jam come and swept right over. And the family was moved way back to a mountain. And I could not see it go, and I saw too much of it.
No.
I had to climb up on the hobble. And then when my uncle came out to see what damage, and he got me in the canoe. I come down off the hobble in the canoe, and we dodged across. When the trails wouldn't be going to me, he did dodge across. And we come out of it all right, though. And jam give away, and we come back in the cam boat on the clock at night. And the Castonians, they were all separated. The cattle and the horses and everything, but they saved their lives. cats on there. You must know the babies down in Fort Kent. Mm-hmm. Well, they were, their mother was one of the cats on the girls. He was here to see me some time ago, him and Mr. Bellon Parker.
Yes.
And I had told them, I know them all. They were awful nice people. Very, very nice. There was George St. John and his mother and his brothers. And they were clean great out of all our shop. They were wealthy people, quite good then, you know, get lots of money up there. And they were smart women. My mother was smart women. To work the game ahead.
That must have been hard on them when they lost. It must have been hard on the people when they lost their homes.
Yes. Well, their homes wasn't swept away. The little homes they owned up their own. But their cattle, their nice stock, they owned a lovely colts, year old, I guess. Three or four of them. They were all hay racks and plows and all the machinery. Everything went down the river.
What did you used to do for fun when you were young? Did you have dances?
We did.
Yeah.
Well, just helped her mother.
And did you go to dances?
Oh, yes.
I used to tell us,
Tell me about them.
Time, yeah.
Yes. We went to dances, friend. The girls sang dancing tunes for us to dance.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes.
No fiddle.
Caroline Walker.
Yes.
And Will.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
She went to meet him, and it was an old lady and her husband, and they were bound in there. They couldn't go no further. The ice jammed, but no jam, but ice filling in for fall. So they welcomed them to stay in the winter with them. Well, I say, Grandma, what would you do for a living and everything? Oh, my, shit, that old Indian held the strength. He'd go out, she says, and get the deer or moose or the kim rabbits, you know, that like them, just like a chicken. And we got along just fine, she says, till the river was open, and they went to the Grand Falls where their people were. No word of where they were, no nothing, you know, all that time, she said. Never with me.
You had quite an experience coming down Little Black one time, and you almost got frozen.
Oh, yeah, I could tell her that. God saved our lives that night. We started too late to get home there. Two of my nephews, and I, and my little boy about that high. So we were coming, I was to live at the window with my daughter. She wasn't well. We were way up Little Black in the woods. So we come down to what they call the Kelly Ledge into Deadwater, and it filled in. And they had a big motor on the boat. Small boat, you know, to go through. One looked and said he could go through it. The motor was open, wide open. And when we went, there we were. We couldn't get back. Well, my nephew had a long pole in the bow. He put his pole down to traverse back out, and he broke it in two. And the motor stopped. And it was very near dark. And my little boy commenced to cry. He understood me. And I told him not to cry. Don't cry. And we only had a paddle and then little two pieces of pole. And I dropped the boat, rocked, keep it from freezing. And George, my son-in-law, kept working at the motor, tried to make it go. Too much ice. And he kept on. Every once in a while, I'd say, if it's God's will, we'll get out. So I perplexed that one of the boys, Lanson, he always says to me, answer the long time to pray. I didn't answer, I thought it must be God hears me anyway. If it's His will, we'll get out. And when we couldn't see one another in the boat, and still rocking and working, one with the paddle and some with a little pole, George put his motor down again. And he commenced to crank it, you know, and I heard it cut, 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 cut. I tell you, we just lifted the hair on our heads. And didn't it take it back out? It took it back out. George Kelly, you living, he could tell you the same story.
Oh, yeah, that's right, what she's telling is right. That's yeah. Right what you're telling, ma'am.
Now they said then, we're sure. He went up for round, came on the ice, the short board ice. And we tried to bait the board ice down a ways. And the dew, we'd come to quick water. We can go out. So me and my little boy got out, and I took a row with him, that's all we had in the paddle boat. And way down later we hear the whoop. We answered. We were coming following a track where the drivers made you know we could see it in the snow. And we get out all right and come to mind out of sheer all quite late before we got home. They didn't know what happened to us. That's quite an experience.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. That's right. True. Yeah, true. Yes, poor George.
Yes. Everything this lady saying, you can believe it. That's true.
Once right for the first time. My nephew, he said to me he was discouraging. One time he said, I might jump out and to get to the border. I said, you can't. Your legs be froze. Now, another time he said, maybe if I hook some of the urban. I said, I don't know who to be. We didn't know who to be, so I was going to settle down the road. Oh.
Now, you used to move to the woods every winter and take children. When you used to go to the woods in the winter and take your family, you had no doctor or any road. And tell her about that.
Go to the woods in the winter. Well, I used to go to the woods to cook for my husband's big family. And anyway. I went for my youngest boy, was only 3 weeks old, up back river, pulled up in the canoe right the last going in the fall. And I was up there 5 months in the woods, the boat landing. And we stayed there all winter. We never had a doctor. We never had a road one winter. I traveled. And had to carry stuff from the mud landing to the oxbow to get on the team to come home. We had to travel 3 miles.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And come home and start up housekeeping again.
Yeah.
How many men did you cook for?
I had 10 of my own. And I boarded 3 men, and they had another man. That was 4 of them.
That's right.
Charlie Hafford.
Yeah.
Charlie Hafford.
Yeah.
And Al and Herbert McPherson was their
teacher. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. My God, she's got a good memory for it.
Yeah. Cool.
Now you could drive a horse or take a boat and go where you wanted to.
Yes, any place they go across the river, they get in the boat or bateau and cross or pull the canoe up just like the men would. Yeah. And they were awful tough people. They could work and it didn't bother them. So, now her sister, 10 years younger than her, she must have the reason for 10, 12 children. And she's just such a lady as her, they're working, but she's 10 years younger.
I could take a canoe up and cross the river just to go to the man. Well, no, we're used to that. I went one spring, me and a girl chum, to the Salmon Islands in a boat. They had to take their boats back up to the islands, Salmon Islands, leaving through the next current. So Miss Curry, a friend of my mother's up the island all for years and years, where she was mostly brought up. She wanted some of us to go up. So this spring, I got a girlfriend to go with me, and we went. And I stayed up on the cabin and steered the boat 1/3 of the way we went to it.
You see the boat that made there? That's what she get up on the cabin, eh? She did, yeah. Yeah.
Will Henderson, that's the captain on the boat, was when I wasn't on it. Yeah. He wanted me to stay and upon it going into the landing at the Miss Currier's. But I wouldn't know you come up here and take your tell them.
Yeah, well, the ladies then were just like the men. They get a canoe and cross the river anywhere. Wherever we went, they pull the canoe or just things. Yeah. Yeah.
We had to do that to get it away.
That's right, ma'am. You had to. Yeah. But Rock Rogers is awful tough. They're tough people, you know. They working out didn't bother them at all to work. Yeah. And that's why I brought that lady up here today to see you, ma'am.
We're telling her it's the truth.
Yes.
Yes, God,
yes.
The truth.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of this at night from my Monday.
Yes.
And we'll all come
to you, yes.
Now, your mother used to go to the neighbors and help somebody when they were sick.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she was a doctor up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. She go and say, well, I'm myself in the old age. Yes. But I was no doctor, but I was
a good helper. She'd stand by and help them. Oh, yeah. She's a good
doctor
helper.
Dr. Helper, an old age doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
My mother was born in Allegash. She was born on Gardiner Island.
I'll show you that island when we get in.
And you know Mrs. Reagan, you heard about her.
Yeah, yeah.
She was a doctor among the women then.
That's right.
And
yeah.
My grandmother was the youngest one that came from Russia.
That's right. That's
and
right.
She had her baby, that would be my mother, on the Gardiner Island.
Was she the first child born here?
Yes, the first white child.
Yeah, must be.
My mother was.
Yeah.
And she was born on Gardiner Island.
Yeah.
What was her name? What was her name?
Sarah Kelly.
Sarah Kelly.
Yeah.
Mother.
She married Kelly.
Oh, Sarah Mullins.
Yeah. My God, you got a good memory, ma'am. You got a good memory for your age.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
My mind never got bad.
No, I see that. I see that. Just the way you tell that story, just as it is from way back, close to 100 years. I told her up to then, I said, now she's 11 years older.
tell her about your father when he went to the Grand Falls.
Yes. He came from Fredericton, and my father was from there. And when he came down in the train going home to Fredericton, one of his sister-in-laws was going to go and live with their sister married to Charlie Kelly, my father, and she got ready to go. So he picked up a little canoe up there belonging someone they met to run to the Grand Falls. There was no train or no nothing. And down nigh the Grand Falls where the other landed to the upper carry, he got up to go ashore to the lower, and his leg was asleep, and he fell over and upset. Hard to wait in the river.
Well,
they hooped, of course, and hollered, and those all came out. They were going round and round, and I had an uncle live there, and I hollered for him. He lived right on the bank of the St. Mary's, along where the old Catholic church is.
Yes.
Just like here.
Yes, sir.
And he came, and they hurried and got him a rope, and he tied a big knot in it, and he threw it the second or third time to him before he could catch it. And they were hollering all the time for him to come ashore and let her and the canoe go. He wouldn't. He hung on. And he got him ashore. He hung to the
her. Yes,
now, I don't know about the canoe. The canoe might have went. Well, in that way, they had to stay at the Grand Falls 2 or 3 days or more before they got over the shock to go on. Come home, thank John Heffert.
That's right.
But his leg died before dark. He came home in the afternoon. And there was 8 of the family. No help then. Just the neighbors. My father came home that morning, making poor old John on the road. And he shook hands and told him, Charlie, I'm gone. The next morning, my father coming back, his horse and threads of the door put on a barrel of flour exchange. Well, that's the way they live.
That's right.
The family was young,
you know. That's right. Yeah. That's right. They used to raise everything on the farm, see? Everybody.
Yeah.
A big family, and they raised
everything. They all lived, though,
on the farm, yeah. And worked hard. And the women was the ones that done the garden work. Yeah.
You knit?
Yeah, knit.
Oh, every woman in the settlement knit.
Yeah, they used to knit the lenders, drawers, and everything. That was awful, didn't it? Yeah.
They all knit and sewed and made rugs, made quilts, made all the children's clothes by hand. We had the sewing machine early like that. Sat by the fire and tied and sewed.
Washed by hand.
Huh?
Washed by hand.
Oh, yes, on the washboard. Many the day I done that.
Yes, I'm going to tell her how the washboard was made.
Yes.
They take a board about an inch thick, see? And they take it maybe about 2 feet long and about 8 inches wide. They cut notches in it and made ridges like going upstairs. And they put the cloth on that, see? And it was washed just like today. And that the clothes would come out just as white as, yeah. Then they rinse the clothes. It was all hand, late. And the ladies done the most of it. Well, the men stayed in the woods all the time, weren't they? See? And at home, well, they...
Who do you hear all that?
Well, the boys, some of them today would have to do that, you see, a different thing.
Tell her how you made a broom and what you used for soap.
Oh, sure, bro. Yeah, well, I'll back and take some bows.
First, fruit. Yeah, fruit.
And put one bunch and make another and put them together that way. Tie a string around a good and tight and have a wooden stick.
Yeah.
Put them down in there. Sure.
Yeah, that's true. Wash the floor.
And the fur was our brushes to scrub with.
And what did you use to put on the floor for soap?
Huh?
Didn't you use sand?
Oh, yeah. Then we used sand. Get a big tin dish of sand, put soap in, that'd be top soap that the women make, mix it in, and a hard bunch of overhaul, something hard. And that was our scouring brush, too.
They take spruce boughs and put them in their hand like that and shrug the floor, too. Now, she said something there, I forget what I was going to tell you, they made. Now, what was I going to tell you that they made, and I forgot.
Soft soap?
Yes, soft soap. They take ashes and put it in a barrel, pour water in it, and they let that sit. And when they drown that water off of there, it was just as strong, and they put that in water and boil it and make soft soap to the grease and make soft soap. And that would be just as like it as the soap today. Almost better in a way, because that's the way they made the soap. Which now you ain't gonna get a piece of that soap that's home. Well, it was nice to hear Miss Sally talk to me. Hey, such a good man.
And then the men in the woods when they went in the woods to fix their bed.
14. All around. Yeah. All around. Yeah. And besides home here, I put up come the Adler. I put up them in 3 years. Then the other Conley come and put him up too.
Yes.
In Traverse. We had 101 here one night.
Yeah.
But I had a sleeping building on the back. Bikes made from sleeping. But we paid them.
Yes. There was some cooking there.
Overnight.
Yeah.
And when I came to settle with Carl, the boss, he told me there was 98. Well, I said the girl kept count at the sideboard with a book writing down every one that sat down and put down for him. Well, he said, send me the eat twice. Oh, yes, I said, that could be. He was going to get the best of his meal.
What did it cost for a meal? What did you charge them to eat?
50 cents.
And what did you feed them?
Red bacon and a sack of mutton, red that
house. That's right, and biscuit. You must have made for them 10 or 12 bigger sheets of biscuit.
Yeah.
Besides your loaf bread, you feed 100 men.
Lovely little pieces.
That's right, ma'am.
Biscuit, we couldn't get enough of them to cook for them. Big crew. Then they never was much of them people to come with liquor. No. There was just one unruly man among them all that I can remember.
Yeah.
He wanted to be the landlord.
That's right. Yeah.
And we get along all good.
Did you have any police officers of any kind at that time, if there was a fight?
There was no officer unless you go to Fort Kent and then be the one officer in the whole Fort Kent. Everybody, the fight started, they'd get around and talk it over and make peace among the people out there.
We get all kinds of credit by just calling and telling what we want in Fort Kent.
Yeah.
They knew the people, honestly, always pay. Them places that I dealt high as $100 to get out and pay for drugs. But I made good. I had settled in the fall, in the spring. Pretty often you had $600. Then besides the travelers would pay the cash, mostly would pay for the grub. Cash going and coming.
You help people whenever they died. When someone died, you lined the casket?
Oh, yes, the little children and Mr. Walsh, you know him, Tom?
Yes.
He wanted me and my sister-in-law to trim his casket. We told him we would, and they made it up here, the carpenter's day. It cost $18.50 when it was made, and we trimmed it. And what came in but Mr. Pelkey, just when we were to work at it?
Yeah.
Tyler was at the Andean, and Charlie Henderson was on the other side of me. And in came Mr. Pelkey, the undertaker of Fort Kent. He knew we were working at it, and he knew that the casket was made up here. And he was kind enough to come up and see what kind of a job we were doing. And we were doing okay. And when I said to Mr. Pelkey, I often trimmed the children's casket. But the only difference, you're Charlotte, he would nail it this way with the straight hanging down. And then when he got it tacked all in there, he'd turn it down in the gasket. Oh, well, I said I left the straight inside. Just as good, he said.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I wish to make them the casket.
Many the ones that I trimmed, too.
Now, you used to have newspapers.
Eh?
You always get the daily newspaper?
We did. Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be daily up here, but we had Montreal, my father lived in Fredericton. And then after a while of bad war, we got Bengal paper. Oh my, yes, we couldn't go without the paper. We can't yet.
The first schoolhouse, did each child have a desk?
Eh?
In the first schoolhouse, did each child have a desk?
Oh, just one old wooden one.
For the teacher.
And the teacher occupied that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Where did the children sit?
Huh?
Where did the children sit?
The benches.
Around the wall on the board. Boards. Around. Not too much coming. You live in Poitiers? In the old days, they'd have a summer dish at Old Greece, you know? Mutton chowder was a great one, more lasted. And they'd take a candle and make out a rag, candle, cotton, twist it, double it, and put the end of it down in the grease and sit and knit by that.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's right. Many the nights my mother, my aunt said that they'd set up and knit by that kind of a light. Pretty tough.
Bringing supplies home from, where did you go to get your groceries?
Hmm?
When they bought groceries.
When you bought your first groceries, you had to go back to Edmonston, eh?
Oh, yeah.
In Grand Falls. Pull them up from there.
Take a week for your
That's right, man. That's
there.
Right.
No,
take a big,
canoe.
Big log canoe. They make themselves over a big pine. Two men run down. They put their supply and they pull that. They take about 3 days from where they start there till they get up here to Dickey or to the Pine Camp we want. That's the way they got the supply.
I can remember, Tom, you know, when they called at the head of the road to Mr. John Doe.
Yes.
At the John Doe Hill.
Yes. And these people then get in a canoe and go across the river and are on the ice just as well as an animal. So up and down, pull the canoe. Yes. And the ladies then, the men was all the time in the woods. And the lady had all the work to do, take care of the stock and take care of the garden and everything. They do all that work.
Yeah. All that work.
Yeah. They done more work than the man.
You like to live it over?
What?
Would you like to live it over again?
Oh, no. I didn't want to live it over. That's
right.
We
well, it'd be all right to live it over if it make a difference. Keep on with the young fellas coming. Wouldn't we have fun now, eh? Wouldn't we have fun if we could live over with these young people?
Yeah.
Eh?
Yeah. minister come? Nunciation, you know.
No, ma'am.
No, right.
Yeah. Now, the like that with the priest, they come along and say a mass, and we wouldn't see him again for a year before they come back.
Sure.
Yeah.
What would you do if somebody wanted to get married and there was no priest around?
Oh, they'd always make a date to have them to come.
They always made a way for that.
Yeah. Now, when you get 4 cents, I'll be down there, and I will give you some money, and you'll buy a treat and send it to this old lady. Okay?
All right.
I'll finish her the money, but I ain't got no chance to go, and you mail it to her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell her a bouquet, nettle.
Oh, well.
That's too close.
Oh, you keep me here all day. Well, he was a lumberman, young man, wondering what his father, old Mr. Nettle from St. Francis, and his boy's name was Pat. He comes year and year after year to see me, and he never misses the birthday present. And this Thanksgiving, was it?
Easter.
He brought me a great big turkey.
Turkey.
And he was going away to Connecticut to visit. He had a big family. And why he did it, he claims that I was a great friend to him up and down his family. Come in wet, cold, he says, or wet feet. I could give him dry feet dress and help him. That's why he took on now to me. He's 70. He's the same age as Ed.
Yeah. And he's a nice fellow, too.
Pat.
Today he's worth all kinds of money.
He resigned from all his work.
Yeah.
He works no more.
Yeah.
He lumbered till he got enough to keep him. And he lumbered from Pinkham. And he told me the last year that he came out of the woods, Mr. Pinkham tried hard to make him keep on. No, he said, I don't do that. I got enough to keep me, says Mr. Pinkham Minigal.
Now, having no church to go to in the early years, how did you come to understand and know the Bible?
Well, the old people were taught.
Well, in them days, everybody had a Bible. When they come here, they brought it with them from way down.
Sure.
Yes, everybody had a Bible. And they'd read it to the children.
Oh, Mr. Diamond was
that's right, ma'am.
Like a minister.
That was your uncle, eh? Oh,
my
Mr. Diamond.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, a well-educated man.
They all know that. He wouldn't eat his dinner or a meal without maybe down on his day say grace for eating. It was very particular about that.
Oh, yes.
Follow up that.
Yeah.
What do you think about the man going to the moon?
Oh, you kids don't ask